So today's Bible readings from Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. So, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Hi guys, thanks for having me. If you have your Bible with you, keep it open and you can follow along. Let me pray before we start. Holy Father, we do pray now as we come to your word and we'll be able to listen to it and hear it and apply it in our lives so that we may live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you probably, you know, for those of you who knew me before, I'm actually not a very confident person. I lack in confidence in a lot of things, in sporting, in public speaking. I'm not very confident. I'm just not very confident when I talk to people. And you know, you might look at my photo with my wife. How on earth did I get a girl like that, right? Well, it took me a lot of courage to ask her out because, you know, I'm actually just not very confident. So before I asked her out, so I met her at Bible College. Did I talk to you about her? Yeah, I did. I asked for a lot of advice and before I asked her out, I tried to make myself look good. I brushed my teeth, I showered, and you know, I put product in my hair. I practiced what I was going to say to her with my friend, my friend Alex. And I was like, Alex, can you pretend to be her? And then I'll just talk to you just as if I'm talking to her. Because I was just so nervous, just lacking in confidence, so fearful of rejection. And when I actually met up with her, it took me a while to tell her what I wanted to say. And she could tell that I was really nervous. And she didn't say yes to me straight away. She said that she would pray about it. And for me, that means, okay. Yeah, that's probably a no. But, you know, the rest is history. By God's grace, she agreed to go out with me and went out for a whole year, and then we got married. For the whole time, you know, during that night, I was just like nervous. Oh, God, what if she said no? And I just looked so stupid and embarrassed. My question for you is, you know, have there been times where you also lacking confidence, whether it's not just in dating, maybe in other things, maybe in your future. And I suspect I'm not alone in this. I think most of us would have gone through times where we lacking confidence. Maybe lacking confidence about your future, about where you're going to be going, about where you're going to be working. Maybe you lack confidence of your health when you hear that another family member falls ill, or when you, especially for the last 2 years, when you look at the world and the pandemic. Or maybe you lack confidence in your salvation when you have struggled with the same sins over and over again. Or maybe you lack confidence in God's love for you when you are going through times of darkness or depression. So on what basis can we have confidence? Well, today we're going to look at Romans 8, and Romans 8 is written, the letter is written by the Apostle Paul, and Paul tells us that, yes, we can have confidence. We can have confidence not in ourselves, but not in the things of the world, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8 is all about this life-changing truth that in Christ, we are accepted by God, despite our shortcomings. There's no more condemnation. We're free from the guilt of sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm accepted by God. I have a relationship with God. And today's passage is all about our confidence in our status as children of God, and that God is our Father. And Paul gives us three bases to have confidence in being part of God's family. But firstly, we can have confidence because we are led by the Spirit. We can have confidence because we are led by the Spirit. So Paul says, you are a child of God if you are led by the Spirit. Verse 14 says this. Do I have to press something? Okay. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You know, sometimes when I use the term, I'm led by the Spirit to do this, to do that. The Spirit led me to take this job. The Spirit led me to marry this girl. The Spirit led me to move to that place. We use the language being led by the Spirit as a way to talk about God's guidance in our lives. But this is not what Paul is talking about here. So what does it mean? Well, verse 14 begins with a word for, which is a connecting word, which means it's, we have to look back to what the context before Romans chapter verse 14. It's connected to verse 13. And verse 13 says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So in other words, when Paul says being led by the Spirit, he's talking about living lives in obedience to God. He's talking about putting sins to death. You know, people say they can tell that I'm my dad's child because of the way that I look, because of the way that I behave. You know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Well, it's the same with us. You know, people can tell whether we're Christian, whether we're children of God, by the way that we behave, by the way that we think. You know, every time I avoid gossip, sexual temptation, every time I avoid anger, speeding on the road, that is the work of the Spirit in my life. That is the evidence of Spirit's leading in my life. And it's the evidence of our sonship. Now, some of you might be sitting here and you think, Dan, I still struggle with sins. I haven't put sins to death. I still do the things I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things that I should do. Now, am I still a child of God? Well, my answer is yes, you are still a child of God. And it's true that there is tension in the life of a Christian. On one hand, we want to put sin to death, but on the other hand, we still sin. But the fact that you are struggling means that you are fighting it. And if you are fighting sins, if you have the desire to put sins to death, then you are led by the Spirit and you are a child of God. So be confident that you are a child of God because you are led by the Spirit. Well, secondly, we can have confidence because we are adopted as sons and daughters. We can have confidence because we are adopted as sons and daughters. Now, one of the confidence we can have as a child of God is that we don't have to fear anymore. Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Now, if you imagine the relationship between a slave and a master, a slave always had to obey the master out of fear of punishment. Now, I remember when I first started my job as a pharmacist, you know, more than 10 years ago, I was under probation for 3 months in a hospital. And this means in the first 3 months, they were monitoring my performance and they would determine at the end of the 3 months whether I'm good enough, whether I'm not giving drugs up illegally. And those 3 months, those first 3 months, probably one of the most stressful time that I face. I would make sure I do all the right things, that I don't make any mistakes, I don't give out the wrong drugs to the wrong patient. I was new and I didn't know what I was doing. So there was always a fear that I might not get this job, a fear that I might say something that might jeopardize my chance. But it's only once the probationary period was over that I felt relieved. I felt liberated. I was able to enjoy my work a lot more. And it was because I was more confident as my status as a permanent staff. And it's the same with us. Once we become a Christian, we don't need to fear condemnation or judgment anymore. Our relationship with God is not characterized by fear of judgment, by fear of not being good enough, by fear of not performing well enough. Our relationship with God is characterized by his adoption of us. In verse 15, it goes on and says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. So we are no longer slaves, but we are adopted as children of God. Now, back in the Roman society, thousands of years ago, adoption is like a transfer family membership. Your old debt and legal obligations were paid for and you gain all the rights of the new family. So no matter what happens, that status will never change. There is security. And it's the same for us. Once we put our faith in Jesus, we are adopted into his family. And our status as a child of God will never change. we have security. And the fact that we adopt it also tells us that our relationship with God is completely initiated by Him. No, we don't win His favor. We don't negotiate with Him. Adoption is a legal act on the part of the Father, and it's very costly for Him. Why is it costly? Well, it's because our debt and our sins had to be paid for by the blood of His one and only Son, Jesus. Now, God the Father was already in a perfect relationship with Jesus, but instead He became a judge for His one and only Son so that He can be a father for His enemies. And you realize how mind-blowing this is. Now, God didn't need to adopt us. We were His enemies. He was already in a perfect relationship with Jesus, but yet He sent His Son down to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, and while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. Now, if you're here today, you don't think of yourself as a Christian, I do want to appeal to you to accept this God's adoption for you. Now, you can actually approach God as a father instead of as a boss or as a slave master. You don't have to approach Him in fear. You don't have to approach Him in a spirit of fear, trying to earn His favor, but you can approach Him on a family basis as His beloved children. And all you have to do is to accept His love and forgiveness and put your trust in Jesus. Now, I met this couple many years ago. They have this amazing adoption story. They had adopted an 8-year-old girl from China. And this girl, she has some mental and physical disabilities, and took her a while to realize that she was adopted. And once she has realized that she was adopted, she was actually quite distraught, knowing that her own biological family didn't want her, that she was abandoned by her biological parents. So for a while, she felt unloved, she felt disconnected, she felt lost. And this couple, they were my friends, that they just kept reminding her that she was chosen, that they chose her, that they wanted her. And they knew what she was like, they knew about her disabilities, but they still wanted to adopt her. And eventually, as a girl came to an understanding of my friend's love for her, she moved from this status of just feeling that she's abandoned and lack of confidence to a new status, a new renewed confidence in a new status as a chosen one, as a daughter. Now, God knew what you were like. God knew all about your deepest and darkest secrets. God knew all about your failures, and yet He still chose to adopt you. So it is an adoption into an eternal love relationship. It's a relationship that is secure. So how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a slave, or do you see yourself as a children, as a child of God? Now, for most of us here, it is possible that having trusted in Jesus to make us righteous, we can return to an attitude to a performance-based relationship, right? And we act as if God's blessing is determined purely on the way that we live, the way that we perform. We can think things like, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not worthy to be a child of God. You know, all I can hope for is to struggle alone and hoping that God will accept me. And if I perform well enough, that maybe God will reward me, that maybe He will answer my prayer. Maybe He will give me His favor. But if I'm not good enough, if I sin again this week, that He might punish me. None of us is perfect here. But you do not stop being a child of God just because you're a problem child. You don't stop becoming a child of God just because you're a problem child. The relationship is based on unconditional love, not based on your performance standards. And that is the reality of adoption. That not only this, we get to call the one who is the creator of the universe, the judge of the whole world, Abba, Father. Verse 15, Paul says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, if God calls me His Son, then He enables me to call Him Abba, Father. This was a very intimate term that they used back then. It was a term for family closeness. It's a way that Jesus taught to God. Now, the equivalent term to that might be, you know, daddy or dad or Baba. And, you know, we can actually pray to God just as if, like, He's our dad. is our daddy. And it does bring about a sense of intimacy with them. I don't know if you guys have tried to do that before, you know, instead of saying, dear God or Heavenly Father, you're like, daddy, how are you going today? Or, daddy, I want to tell you this. Now, if Queen Elizabeth just passed away, but when she celebrated her Diamond Jubilee quite a number of years ago, Prince Charles, or King Charles now, her son gave a speech, and he started his speech with like this. He said, Your Majesty, Mommy. Your Majesty, Mommy. And that sounded a bit weird for a grown man to call his mom Mommy, let alone to call the Queen Mommy. But Prince Charles has got it. The Queen was his mommy. The God of the universe is our daddy. And that's how we can approach the all-powerful creator of the universe, the judge of the whole world, the Lord God Almighty. He is our dad. He's our father. And that is an incredible privilege. We can have this intimacy with him. The Spirit in verse 16 also testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Now, when we cry out to God as dad, as father, the Spirit of God comes alongside us and he gives us assurance that we are truly in God's family. He gives us an inner awareness of God's love for us, a sense that, yes, God is my father. He really loves me. So when you pray to God the Father, you know that he is there listening. When you're singing worship to God, you have a sense of joy that you're singing to your Father. When we read the Bible, we get a sense of God's amazing love when you read that he died for us while we were still his enemy. And you know that because the Spirit confirms it with you. We have the Spirit in us. He takes up residence in our hearts and he impresses God's love in our hearts. So God's Spirit gives us assurance, not doubt. So we can be confident because we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Well, thirdly, we can have confidence because we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Verse 17, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now, as if what has already been said wasn't good enough, and Paul says, you not only have the security and intimacy as a child of God, but you also have the inheritance of God. Now, what's the inheritance that we have? Well, it's a glory that's going to be revealed in us in verse 18. It's a freedom that we have in verse 21. It's a redemption of our bodies in verse 23. It's a promise that we will be like Christ in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. It's all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we are also co-heirs with Christ. Now, being a co-heir with Christ doesn't mean that our inheritance is divided among between Jesus and I. Being co-heirs means whatever Jesus inherits, that we will inherit as well. Now, Jesus will rule the world one day, and so we too will rule the world with him. We will sit on a throne with him. We will inherit the new heaven and the new earth with Christ in a new resurrected body in which sin will be no more. Now, there's this businesswoman in America called, her name was Leona Helmsley. She was very rich. She owned many hotels and she was a real estate billionaire. She also had a pet dog called Trouble. Now, when she was 87 years old, she died of heart failure. And on her will, she actually left $12 million for her pet dog, Trouble. You know, I wish I was a dog, but you know, that was more than what she was left for family members. Now, I get that she really loves a dog, but that just sounds ridiculous, right? It's lavish. And it's not only that her dog was called Trouble. Now, if you call Trouble, you probably have caused a lot of trouble. And yet she still gave him $12 million. It's ridiculous and lavish. You know, what is a dog going to do with $12 million? But you know what? This is what God did for us. He gave everything for us. He gave Trouble people like us an access into his throne room. He gave Trouble people like us a seat in heaven with Jesus. It's ridiculous. It's lavish. So have confidence in your status as a child of God. Now, God not only accepts you, but he loves to give and give and give. And verse 17 goes on and said, now, if we are children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So we have to suffer. That's a bit disappointing. And I'm sure we've all gone through sufferings at some points in our lives, but the suffering Paul is addressing here is the suffering of being identified with Christ, the suffering that comes to us because we are children of God. For the first century believers, that there was economic or social persecution, and suddenly would face death. We still have that nowadays in other parts of the world. But in Australia, you know, we don't really face the outright persecution. But we still face the pressure of conforming to the world around us, right? We can become complacent in the way that we live our lives. We still live in a tension of between living in the spirit and living in the flesh. And we face the pressure of bearing witness in a world that doesn't want to accept Jesus. And we also struggle with our own personal sin as the Spirit of God demonstrates to us areas in our lives that need to be changed. And sometimes we might feel like, hey, it's too hard to be a Christian. And when we face all this pressure and difficulties, we can feel like our experience doesn't really match up to the reality that we are God's children. It can rob our confidence. But Paul says, hey, feel suffering because of Jesus, because you identify as a Christian. Well, it is a sign that you are a son and daughter of God. Now, sometimes we can doubt in suffering. Does God really love me? And Paul says, yes. You can be confident that you are a son of God. You can be confident that you are a daughter of God. If you understand God's tremendous love for his children, then you can be confident that you have been adopted, that God has sought you and he has found you and he has signed the papers and he has taken you home. So what difference does this make knowing this? Knowing that we are a child of God, well, I just want to suggest one thing. We need to live like a child of God. Live like a child of God. You know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, right? People can tell whether you're a child of God by the way that you behave, the way that you think. Is your life characterized by anger, pride, selfishness, envy, or is your life characterized by joy, peace, humility, gentleness, and self-control? Live on God, who God has made you to be. Be the authentic child of God. Now, I think reminding ourselves as status as a child of God will help us do just that, to live like who God has made us to be. And I learned this from a theologian, from the ex-principal from Ridley Bible College. His name is Peter Adam. And he's written an example of how he prays throughout the week. And I really like how he ends the prayer at the start of each day. He always ends with a prayer, may today be the best day of knowing and loving and serving you. So I try to incorporate that in my prayer each morning. You know, Father, Dad, may today be the best day of knowing, loving, and serving you. When I tempted to be angry, remind me that I'm a child of God. When I tempted to grumble about this other person or my difficulties, remind me that I'm a child of God. When I tempted to doubt my salvation, remind me that I'm a child of God. When I tempted to lose hope, remind me that I'm a child of God. And the brothers and sisters, our adoption means that we are loved like Christ is loved. We are honored like Jesus is honored. Every one of us, no matter what, nothing can hinder or threaten that promise. We are children of God. Jesus is our big brother and we are co-heirs with him. We are loved more than we can ever imagine. And we can be confident because God, who is the creator of the universe, the judge of the whole world, is also our dad. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our dad. And you know, we can address you as our dad, daddy, and father. And Lord, that is a tremendous privilege to be able to talk to you like this. And we do pray that you continue to remind us of who we are, that we are your child. And we can have confidence in that. And we can have confidence in approaching you. We can have confidence and when we doubt and when we struggle with our sin, when we struggle with suffering. And we know, Lord, that you have provided us assurance that nothing can ever separate us from your love and that there is no normal condemnation in Christ. So help us to live like a child of God. Help us to remember that we are your child and that we might be able to live in honor of what you've done for us and in honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now it's time for Q&A, and I'd like to call Dan to just come back up again. Top of Padlet. So on the first question, so does the spirit lead in other ways besides leading away from sin?
Yeah, so the context of, as I said before, when Paul says, if you are led by the Spirit, then you are children of God. In that context, it's talking about living lives in obedience to God. The Spirit does lead in other ways, but in that context, it's more about living lives in accordance to God's word. But, you know, like I said, the spirits might be leading us when we pray. You know, we might be asking God for some guidance, and Spirit might lead us to do this and do that. That could be a way the Spirit leads as well. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, definitely. Well, I think there's a few other questions in terms of, so is it disrespectful to pray to God and call him daddy, or is it really okay?
Yeah, I think it's really okay. It's really okay just to address God, because I know, like, it does sound a bit weird, because we always think that, you know, God is just so holy and so perfect, and, you know, he's the king, he's Lord, but at the same time, he's also our father, our daddy. Like, you know, if you go to your dad, do you go to your dad and say, you go to him, Lord? No, like, no, you don't, right? But God does give us that privilege. And and when we do address him in that term, it does give us a sense of intimacy as well, I find. I know it's not a common practice that we do. And I think the fact that it feels weird says more about us rather than who God is. Yeah. So maybe because we don't really view God as that sort of father to us. But he is our father, and we can have that intimate relationship with him. So yeah, so I don't think it's disrespectful. So I think maybe it depends on the context as well, right? So maybe, you know, if you're at a church, for some people that might be a stumbling block, you know, how dare you call God the father, daddy, that way. But maybe in your own personal prayer time, you can actually address him as daddy or dad, or whatever, how you normally call your dad. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and then it seems like there's one last one. So if we slip into sin, does that mean we don't have the spirit? We touched on it.
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean, like, the whole point that Paul wrote Romans 8 is to give you that assurance that if you do sin, and remember that you have the spirit in you, that you are a child of God, and we still, because we still, Jesus hasn't come back yet, we still live in a sinful world, in a sinful body. So there is still that tension of, we still do sin daily, but at the same time, you know, God has given us spirit so that we can address this sin, and we can actually find forgiveness in Christ as well. So if you do slip into sin, it doesn't mean that you don't have the spirit, but the fact that you recognize that you slip into sin actually means that you have the spirit, right? So if you don't recognize that you slip into sin, then probably there's something going on there. But if you don't struggle with it, if you do struggle with it, I think that actually is an evidence of the spirit in your life, that you are trying to fight it.